We're going to talk about the evolution of Ethernet today. Let's get away from the podium. So, first thing I have to say, as always, anything I say today, I'm not here speaking on behalf of the IEEE, and any opinions you hear me say are not positions from the Ethernet Alliance. So we'll get through the boilerplate text quick. Let's jump into the fun stuff. All right, our agenda for today, just a general introduction, building your network with Ethernet, the growth, Ethernet in the data center, the road to success, and wrap up, and then we'll try to save a few minutes for the Q&A session. So, how do you tell the story about Ethernet? How do you want to talk about it? Do you want to talk about feeds and speeds? Does that really interest everybody here? Some people, yes. Do you care about the media? What are you going to do? Multi-mode, single mode? Yeah. It just works, right? Do you talk about deployments? Where it's everywhere? Do you talk about the function? Do you talk about the application? Do you talk about what's next? Chauncey and I had a lot of fun putting this presentation together. And this is where we started, because we weren't sure how to tell that single story to a group such as yourselves, because there are so many different ways for you to be looking at Ethernet, looking at your networks, and what is of interest to you. Perhaps you're thinking about the cloud. Well, we heard Vin talk about how the cloud is in its infancy, and how many people get white papers on the cloud and cloud networking? They're usually, 15 to 20 pages of technical white papers, if you're lucky? So that's not really a good way to address it either. You know, I like to define the cloud more by what I want from the cloud, right? What do I want? I want my data. I want my applications. I want it whenever, wherever, however. So I'm looking out here. I'm seeing people on their smartphones, seeing people on their laptops, on their iPads. You're all getting to the cloud. And somewhere in that whole network, I guarantee you, you're going over Ethernet. That's kind of what we're going to talk about today. And I want you to consider for a second. Last year when I was in here, I was talking about the bandwidth assessment analysis that we were doing. And what we found was that, surprise, surprise, bandwidth is exploding. How many people are really surprised by this? No one, right? But look at the underlying factors and start to quantify and tabulate what is actually driving some of this, and it gets a little bit scary. So some of this is data from that analysis. This is just looking at how many users worldwide we're going to have by 2015. We're essentially going up 1 billion people in the next 5 years. Okay, so it was going from 1.9 billion to 3 billion. And the number of network devices, well, they're growing phenomenally as well. Look at this. In the U.S., in North America, 2.2 billion. Western Europe, 2.3. Asia Pacific, 5.8. These numbers are just incredible. And when you realize that if you're talking about a cloud and you're trying to reach all of these people, either directly or indirectly, you got a very big problem that you have to deal with. And one of the big issues is what happens when you succeed? Well, success breeds more problems, right? So this is an example of data that we got from the New York Stock Exchange. And let me explain it for one second here. So let's start with the bandwidth growth. So there's source data, and there's the distribution of that data. The source data, well, it's not really visible. Can't really see it, but look at how much it grows, how much it's resent around all over the place. 3 terabit per second. But now also look at the usage growth, right? So what's happening is, as you succeed and people like what you're doing and they like what you're providing, they use it more and more. Look at how much the messages, this is the messages per second that have grown. We're going astronomical right here. Asymptotical. Right? In 2010, you're looking at 5 million messages per second being sent. That's what's happening. And when you talk about the New York Stock Exchange, you truly are talking about time being money. And when you look at it from that perspective, you soon realize that this problem isn't just about the person who's using it. You're not talking about that data. It's a problem that permeates throughout the entire ecosystem that supports everything going on in the New York Stock Exchange, from inside the data centers to across their MAN and WAN, going across the public networks. These are all problems that they have to deal with everywhere and where they're looking from Ethernet to provide a basebone for those problems. So the equation remains the same for what's really driving the growth, right? The speed is increasing. There's more devices. There's more internet users. There's more rich media content. These are all the key growth factors, right? However, where are you in this puzzle? You're in the middle of trying to deal with all of this, right? And that's the big problem that we have to deal with it. When we start to look at Metcalfe's law, the network, the value of the network is proportional to the square of the number of connected users of the system. My animation's not working, Chauncey. Something's not going on here. Did you do something? We're having an audio-visual problem. All right, well, something's happening. All right, well, reality here from Metcalfe's law is the network is growing, and it's bringing all of these wonderful benefits. You're being able to do what you want in the cloud. You're being able to connect anywhere, everywhere, to anybody, however. But the problem is you got to figure out how to deploy it. You got to figure out how to scale it, and then you got to figure out how to manage it. Don't worry about it. Just go to the next slide, please. And this is where Ethernet is actually focusing in on. We're looking at providing all of those solutions in the Ethernet space that we command to provide it. So,
sorry about that.
Yeah, no problem. Sometimes animation seems like a good idea. Okay, so ultimately, let's not talk about the cloud. Let's talk about the world. The world's your network, and Ethernet is what's connecting it. Everybody wants to send everything over there. So when we look at building your network, and we look at the building blocks that are happening, well, the first question I'm going to ask each of you is, what network are you exactly looking at? Right? Because that's going to depend on what you're expecting from Ethernet, because Ethernet is in all of these spaces. We're dealing with enterprise data center, metro, carrier, wireless, Wi-Fi, even automotive. I talked about that last year when I was here when I said, hey, there's going to be Ethernet in the cars. Estimated 300 million ports per year by 2019 of Ethernet ports in the car. What sort of services are you going to have to worry about there? Ethernet's everywhere, and we keep having more people bringing stuff to us to develop and leverage Ethernet for it. And what's happening is we don't have a one-size-fits-all mindset anymore. This curve on the right I showed you last year, and I talked about how the market was fragmenting in terms of one speed doesn't fit all anymore for Ethernet. In this case, we had two lines, one line talking about the server I/O, the second line talking about core networking. And what we're seeing now is the core networking, in a way, is fragmenting in itself because 100 gig, while attractive for carrier networks, is still costly for data centers. Right, so you see something where the bandwidth demand is there, but the cost factor is keeping it from truly getting to where it needs to be. So these are the challenges that we're dealing with. We're dealing with the market need, dealing with increasing bandwidth. From my perspective in developing the standards, the technical feasibility solutions are becoming more and more challenging. I talk about the pesky laws of physics and how we have to deal with it, because ultimately what you want is a lower cost per bit. And we have to think big, right, because we're talking about the cloud. We're not talking about going from point A to point B anymore. We're not talking about a small enterprise. We're talking about big world, interplanetary. I mean, when you start to hear those things and you start to think about these problems, you're like, wow. And you have to realize that when you're thinking big and you're thinking about scaling, that you're talking about different parts of an ecosystem working together, but that each part of that ecosystem has different economics. And because they have different economics, there'll be different applications that will drive it. So we got to drive towards getting everybody connected everywhere all the time. And ultimately, there won't be one solution. There will be multiple solutions because there are multiple application spaces that we're dealing with. From a 40 and 100 gig perspective, there's backplane solutions right now at 40 gig. We have twin axe solutions for 40 and 100 gig, multi-mode fiber solutions. We have a serial solution to go 2 kilometers over single mode fiber, and then we have 40 and 100 gig solutions to do 10 kilometers and a 100 gig for 40 kilometers. So there's a broad family, but as with everything in terms of Ethernet, we're growing that family. We're moving from a 10 gig serial speed building block to a 25 gig serial building block. This will help to make our systems denser. It'll help to lower cost. It'll help to improve density. We're having backplanes developed for 100 gigs so we can provide greater system density, faceplate density. We're looking at refining our solutions for both cabling, from copper cables going from a 10X type cable, 10 by 10, to a 4 by 25 cable. We're looking at the same thing for the multi-mode fiber. And for single-mode fiber, there is two projects underway right now. One is to do 40 gig for 40 kilometers, and there's a second one to do a cost-reduced version targeting data centers for at least 500 meters of single-mode fiber. Trying to get an agreement on a lower-cost solution, well, that is challenging. And the team is working on it, but it is challenging. Now, last year when I was here, I talked about the bandwidth assessment. I talked about how we were going out and we were collecting data from all over the industry in terms of what we were seeing from bandwidth growth. This is the money slide. Okay, so that's really the summary of that entire year's effort on gathering data. And what we essentially did was we normalized the data that we could back to 2010, and then we looked at the growth rates based on the different projections. And what you see is quite a range in growth. You look at the HSSG tutorials. So that was the growth that the 100 gig project itself predicted years ago, saying that bandwidth inside of the core networks and aggregation was doubling every 18 months. Okay, and that's that dotted red line. We looked at the green line. That was what we were seeing from the internet exchanges. Okay, thank you. The financial sector, well, I kind of showed you some of that data. That's going through the roof. That's experiencing a lot of growth. And if you were to look at data that Google has presented in public forums, they were talking about needing terabit in 2013. So they're even beyond some of this stuff. All right, so there's quite a range of data. So in general, if we look at networking and we look at what is going to be experiencing from a growth rate, on average, we see that doubling every 18 months continuing. So in terms of capacity, what that means is, in 2015, the capacity requirements will be 10 times what it was in 2010. And in 2020, it'll be 100 times what it was in 2010. So in layman terms, we will need to support terabit capacities in 2015, and we'll need to support 10 terabit capacities by 2020. Okay? Now, that's not saying a single link will have to carry those rates. It's saying that a solution will be needed to support that sort of capacity in the network. And how people do it, well, that was beyond the scope of this report. Okay, this report was just documenting what the actual need was. Now, when I say terabit is here, I think some people would look at me in surprise. This is data that I got from the EuroIX, talking about the 2012 Olympics and the Euro 2012 matches. And they were exceeding terabit capacities in their days during these key events, 2012. Right? These are just a couple of trends that I pulled today. So that future is here now. People are having to support it. So you do hear a lot of people talking about needing higher speeds. Now, I love this slide because, you know, people say picture is worth 1,000 words. This is actually worth 6 volumes of specifications. It's a pictorial representation of everything that Ethernet has been doing in the 802.3 world over the past 40 years. From our roots in the data center, our roots in the enterprise, coming up with our 10 base T, growing with rates to 100 meg, a gig, 10 gig, 40 gig, 100 gig, growing in terms of reach and the types of solutions that one was dealing with, from copper cables to PCB traces now to tens of kilometers, to actually having to worry about being transportable over OTN, as well as, well, if you want to provide power, there's EEE, or I'm sorry, not EEE, there's PoE, power over Ethernet. Ethernet is carrying all of this stuff. And when we start to look at, well, what does that mean for another family of speeds, well, more than likely what you'll see is CFI or a call for interest for a new project, and we'll have to repeat all of this work all over again at the next speed. And that's where we'll see growth going. And the ecosystem, remember, is expanding. So I talked before about the automotive Ethernet. 2019, nominal estimate of 300 million ports per year. Last year when I was here, I questioned each of you and said, is this your new cubicle? When I start to look at the number of ports and having Ethernet in the cars, I start to think, what services is this going to mean? And when I go out and I visit the world, literally, I hear people talking about doing things with automobiles and their databases inside of the highway systems, that I can now see highway systems being integrated with the Ethernet networking systems inside of cars to deliver new services. What's that going to mean to you? What are you going to have to deal with now? Ultimately, it will work back into affecting you. So from a growth of Ethernet, well, it's here, all right? It's constantly growing. This year, 2012, we shipped over 400 million ports for the first time ever. 400 million. All right, and you notice it's a family of speeds. 100 gig, 10 gig, starting to really grow. And now the introduction of 40 and 100 gig. If you're looking at the 10 gig server market, well, that had an interesting peak this year. So right now, if you're doing any data centers, you're more than likely using a lot of gig E servers inside of your data center. For the last 10 years, we've promised you the 10 gig servers were coming, and now they actually are coming. They are here. This is data from Korean Research. And what you see in the last quarter that was reported, the second quarter of this year, you see this jump up in terms of volume for 10G based T servers. Okay, that's what drove the volume before with gig E servers. It's now happening with 10 gig. So we're going to start seeing this happen. You're going to have to start dealing with it inside of your data centers because it's going to be what can provide you more capabilities. Storage as well is growing. In 2010, we entered the zettabyte era. And now consider this, right? Over the next decade, the number of servers are forecasted to have a 10x growth. Storage, a by 50 growth. But the number of files is going to be a by 75 growth. Right? Once again, more problems that everyone's going to have to live with and figure out how to manage. And I talked before about the ecosystem. Okay, so this is just the global IP traffic, but look how it's broken down here, right? So you have fixed Wi-Fi, you have fixed wireless, and then you have mobile data. And what you actually see is that the mobile data is where the real compound growth is going. All right, so while fixed Wi-Fi and fixed wired are an appreciable part of the market, mobile data is really becoming a real issue, and it's going to keep growing. So when we start to go looking at our data center, let's realize you're dealing with networking growing everywhere. You're dealing with it going even out into access areas that you have to work with. Computing, it's growing in terms of the servers, right? So now you have 10 gig as mainstream servers, but people are doing 40 gig and 100 gig servers as well. We have people looking at that stuff. And storage, well, storage just continues to keep growing. All of this stuff is what Ethernet is looking at providing plug and play to make sure that everything that we do for the network is going to work in terms of what you want it to do. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Chauncey. I think I did good.
Yeah, good, great. Thank you. Morning. I'm going to come down here. I read an article. I'm trying to remember where I read it, but it was talking about the future of the automobile and saying that by sometime around 2025 that automobiles would be self-driving because they've approved a range of Wi-Fi frequencies for inter-automobile communication. So the idea that your car will see that it's coming up on another car and be able to say, how fast are you going and are you going to turn and all these kinds of things, and that people will now have cars that basically they get in and put in where they want to go, lock the doors and do work and read a book and whatever, the car takes them there. Having known a lot of programmers in my life, it makes me a little nervous, but I mean, that kind of thing is what we're going to be moving into in the next 10 or 15 years. And John does a great job, in my mind, of setting the stage for where Ethernet's going to go and all of that. Well, I'm the token marketing guy at Ethernet Alliance, so we're going to de-tech it now. How many people are system administrators? I know that's the name of the conference, but is everybody a system administrator? Okay. So do you do storage as well as networking? Okay. So what I want to talk about a little bit is kind of more to the today and now. But today and now is all about what are you doing about the fact that things are growing, right? And so what I want to talk about when we're done will be data center convergence and some things you might be able to do with convergence. And every study, and I used to be an operations manager. I'm older than dirt, so that's how I could have done that. But as an operations manager and an IT director, I worried about things like, how do I get the growth I need within the budget I've got? And that was like decades ago. We still have that worry, right? It doesn't change. What changes is the, and it's not even exactly the rate of acceleration, but when you're 1% and you grow 10%, meaning you've added 9% more, that's one thing. But when you're 5 petabytes and you grow 10%, it still sounds, oh, they're growing 10%, right? But holy cow, right? So a lot of things are going on about how do I manage it, how do I consolidate the data centers, and how do I figure out a way to virtualize more. In my mind, cloud's a form of virtualization. Certainly virtualization enables cloud. So is this kind of what you're dealing with? I got more coming at me. I'm trying to figure out whether I can get to the cloud. I got to reduce the number of servers I buy. I want to figure out a way to drive up utilization rates. How many people, is that your day-to-day life, right? And in between that, of course, the CEO of the company is calling you and questioning your heritage because the online system didn't come up or the order entries are going too slow or something, right? I remember. That's why I became a vendor ultimately, was I got tired of people questioning my heritage about, in my day, CICS response time, right? So what I want to talk a little bit about today, we'll go through a couple of these graphs, but what I find really interesting is if you look at virtualization, in 2010, according to ESG, about 65% of work was virtualized. By 2018, 86% of all server workloads are going to be virtualized. So we all have to figure out how to be able to get that increase in throughput and work and effectiveness out of our virtualized servers and not have to buy a whole bunch of them, right? In terms of virtual VM density, what's happening there is you're trying to run, how many people run 25 virtual machines per physical virtual? Right? So we got about 3%, right? So everybody should catch them later and find out what they did, because there's going to be some magic in how they did it, or they have a certain workload, right? How many people run 10 virtual machines per physical server? That's better. How many run 5? At least. I should be saying at least. Yeah. So right now, people are running somewhere in the 5 to 10. 10 gig, as it comes forward, is going to give you a way through consolidation and exploiting 10 gig to start to move that up. Well, if you want to go beyond that, that's why we need 40 gig, right? Because 10% today is about 5 times bigger in real-world bytes than it was 5 years ago. So the idea of Ethernet and what we're trying to do is to be able to do these increases so you can drive up the number of virtual servers you'll be driving per machine. So you'll see a lot of work happening from a lot of vendors to figure out ways to do that. But the core is Ethernet. If I can use 10 gig Ethernet now that all the 10 gig servers are being shipped, and I can begin, but oh, by the way, how many people are going to swap out all their servers for 10 gig? Unless you have a really big checkbook, right? I once presented to a guy from the government, and he went, oh, yeah, that's no problem. I got all the money I need. And I'm like, yeah, okay, I forgot you're with the government. That not everyone's like that, but this guy was. And so what we're going to be figuring out is how can we manage a 1 gig, 10 gig, 40 gig core combination, right? It's not going to just be 1 gig anymore. And that's going to be interesting, too, in some of the challenges that we face. So does this look like everybody's 2013 plan? What I'm going to do is figure out how to get some more consolidation out of it, and that'll probably drive me to virtualization. Virtualization will drive me to convergence because I'm trying to figure out a way to not have to run a huge number of pipes and cables to my servers, so I want to figure out a way to make that better, and that's what you get out of convergence. And then when I get all of that done, I want to figure out a way to exploit it. If I'm doing it internally, it'll be private cloud, right? But what most likely is happening, how many people are you all familiar with cloud? I mean, all the definitional stuff? Okay. How many people are hybrid? doing a few things with somebody else, but you also have brought things together so that you can have a cloud, internal cloud, right? So you're mixing up private, public cloud. That's how most people are. 80%, last time I looked at a number, 80% of cloud was being done in the private cloud. In my mind, again, I'm older than dirt. So I think about when it was outsourcing, and I think about all the things it was. And here was the rule. I am more than happy to put some backup data, some archive stuff in charge of somebody else. But if it's the crown jewels, all my customer numbers and their social security numbers, all of that kind of stuff, I don't think so, right? And so what happens is private cloud deals with that, public cloud deals with the other. That's going to change, I think, in a generation, but maybe two. Because how many people have children in the age of the 10-year-old, right? How many of them are more literate using Facebook, Twitter, downloading and streaming and all that than you are, right? I was talking to my 9-year-old granddaughter, right? And I said, I can't remember the word, but we were talking about defining a word. And she went, wait a minute, Grandpa, I'm Googling it. I'm like, okay, got it. Yes, she's ahead of me. So when people who are used to streaming music videos and pictures now become the next small business owner, will they be concerned about putting their stuff in the public cloud? Probably not so much as we are, right? So I think this change is going to happen in that time frame. All roads, Ethernet, lead to the data center. And the real interesting thing as I look at this is this idea that with convergence, fiber channel becomes an opportunity to go over one pipe and share it with Ethernet, or 10 gig iSCSI is emerging now and becoming a viable SAN as well as fiber channel. So when you start to think about it, if we can begin to simplify the core, run fewer pipes between a core to a server, you're going to save a lot of money. Then if I run a lot fewer pipes, I have to buy fewer adapters. You're going to save a lot of money. Then you're going to start using less power. If I can figure out a way to do that and increase the efficiency of the virtual machine itself so I get more virtual machines per physical machine, then I hit the big dollar saver, right? So those are the kinds of things when you think about designing how you're going to go forward in your data center, think about how you can begin to do that transition. And it's none of this anymore is, okay, you know, rip and replace. It's all got to be done in little steps as you go forward because then it's more economical. I always used to run generation minus one on every operating system I ever installed because I was a conservative guy when I was in operations, right? And so you need to have a way to make that kind of a move. Today's environment, you've got some LAN, you've got some SAN, you've got some IP stuff all running, and they're running on their own things. What's going to happen is we're going to introduce and have introduced this thing called data center bridging. How many people are using data center bridging, FCOE? Enhanced Ethernet. Okay, and by the way, we look at switching into my company hat, we probably see about 10% that's going converged now. So converged adapters are about 10% of what QLogic sees. So it's growing and it's becoming real. But part of us as the Ethernet Alliance is to try to help you understand what it is and how you might make some installation plans for it. So you can call it any of those things. Data center bridging is the name of the standard, the collection of standards. You can call it enhanced Ethernet, depending on who you are, or you can call it one of several things. But the idea behind it is to exploit something called lossless versus lossy. Is everybody familiar with lossy? Yeah. The idea in Ethernet and its design is, if it was in the main speak, right, if it doesn't mind dropping and retransmitting messages because that wasn't a big deal. Storage I.O. doesn't like that very much, right? So what you had to do was figure out a way on an Ethernet transmission packet, make it so it won't drop records, right? And that's really what convergence is about from the fiber channel over Ethernet perspective. So basically, when we say enhanced Ethernet or we say data center bridging, what we're really talking about is you now have something that has the ability to be lossless. Once you make it lossless, you can think about doing a lot more things with it. And that's really what it's about. The way they did that bringing together all of those onto one 10 gig E-pipe, and it's going to be a 40 gig E-pipe, and then it'll be a 400 gig E-pipe, and then it'll be a 1600 gig. You know, those things are going to happen. John, thank goodness, is driving that kind of stuff. He's doing work groups and all that to get us there. From my perspective, what I worry about is, could I put it in my data center tomorrow afternoon and use it? And the answer is yes, interestingly enough. Some standards were completed called Enhanced Transmission Selection, Priority-Based Flow Control, and Congestion Notification. So what we did with those standards is we said, okay, how can we convert from a loss-E environment to a loss-less environment? And there was a group of standards developed. The first one is good old Ethernet PAWS. It's been around for a long, long time. What that does is somebody detects that things are busy and says, pause. It stops everything on the link, right? It gives everybody a break to catch up with themselves. That's pause. Well, that's kind of lossy oriented. So the first step was to introduce something called priority flow control, 802.1.qbb. What priority flow control does is say, okay, I'm going to think of the pipe, the one in our case, the one 10 gig Ethernet pipe cable, as 8. And when I say pause, I'm going to say pause 7. That means 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 get to run, right? So that way I can begin to say, now I've set up where I can protect one class of service or two classes of service, like Fiber Channel or iSCSI or one of those that I really don't want to lose blocks with, right? So that gives me that. Well, what's the next logical step? Then you add enhanced transmission selection. What that says is I can do point-to-point quality of service. Now, I've already said I can just pause the ones I want to pause and let the other one run. Would be nice if I could guarantee them a certain amount of the pipe. So now I go to my storage IO and say, okay, he gets at least 80%, right? No matter what else. And then what we'll do is automatically guarantee him his 80% and throttle everybody else down, and they can split up the other 20% in this case. Which is, I use 80%, and this is a math quiz. If it's 10 gigabytes, and I want 80%, I want 8 gigabytes, how much do I leave? 80%, right? So when I think of an I.O. stream, I think of it that way, right? It can literally be any number you want it to do. Now I have that. How many people only have one switch and only one server connected to the switch? People have more than that, and you're administrators, right? So this is for you. We call it DCBX. And what that allows you to do is have a policy for how you want your data to be quality of service managed, have the central switch communicate to both sides of itself, to the target and to the initiator, and say, here's the rule. Are you willing to negotiate? They all say yes. And you go, okay, here's the rule. Here's how I want the 8 set up, 10, 10, 10, 42, 56. And they go, okay, now, instead of having to set it up over and over and over again every time you put in a new server, when you connect the two, the switch to the server, it negotiates and sets up your policy. The idea behind that is now you have at least a remote chance of being able to manage it, right? And that's kind of important. The last one, quantized congestion notification. It is a standard, and it's been not implemented very much. There's not a lot of people rushing to implement this. And that's primarily, in my opinion, because DCBX and ETS and PFC give you such a good level of control that we haven't reached the point where we want to do end-to-end quality of service. The point-to-point is working really well. So vendors have been a little slow at implementing that because we can't quite get our arms. The standard exists, but we can't quite get our arms around the use case. Yeah. Oh, thank you. Darn, and he was supposed to be running over. Okay. Basically, that's converged Ethernet. It's lossless. It has the ability to break the pipe logically into 8, has the ability to give you a quality of service capability. So that means you can start thinking about it. You know what I think the biggest case for convergence is today? First, how many people have 4 terabytes of storage that they really don't care about, so if it accidentally got in trouble because it was being shared with Ethernet, it wouldn't be a problem, right? Yeah, how many people have all their data that way, right? This is my story about implementation. When virtualization first came out, I met some people and they were like, virtualization sucks. I said, what's wrong? Well, I opened up 100 virtual machines and it doesn't do anything. And I'm like, try 6. You might find it to be a better experience, right? So any of these kinds of things has the opportunity, because it's so flexible, to bite you if you get a little carried away with it, right? So when you think about using convergence, you know where I'd start? How many people have several 1 gigabit pipes running various Ethernet, SANs, and IP and stuff like that? If you could take 9 runs from the switch to the server and get rid of them and get rid of the adapters necessary for them and run them on 1, wow. Then all of a sudden, you'd be becoming more efficient in power and a lot of things, right? So that's what I think is a great opportunity. Then you take your low-priority storage, right, and give it a guarantee of maybe 50 or 60% of the pipe, and you put a couple of Ethernets with it. Don't put 8, because that'll be bad, right? So you can begin to do that. So as you're thinking about your next server acquisition and your next storage acquisition, you could start thinking about a strategy of implementing this kind of an improvement, because the net result is you buy fewer things. And your bosses love you for that, right? So think about doing that. And this is kind of the process, right? You start today, you've got 3 separate things, or 4 or 5 or 50, and you're going to start trying to consolidate them down. And the result of doing that, and everybody who's producing initiators, NICs, converged network adapters, is doing things to help you make virtualization more efficient so you can up the number of machines you run. So whoever you deal with, talk to them about that, because they'll have things they can do to help you make that better, right? And we've gone through that. So here's a quick run through in the standards. This is the enhanced transmission selection approved in 2011. Lots of people are interoperable with it. That's important to you so that you can make an open competitive purchasing decision and be comfortable with that and be able to change your mind. DCBX, this one's a little bit different. Before finalization of the standard, there was a group that came together and defined what we'll call the pre-standard version of DCBX, and that was widely implemented and proven to be interoperable. The standard was defined and approved in 2011, and now vendors are moving to that. So if you're making an acquisition decision, ask them about this. So the key question is to say, do you support baseline DCBX or IEEE DCBX? If you ask that question, they'll all be excited and explain what they do, and it'll be a good thing to have that discussion, because then you'll know. Because the issue is, because of there are differences between the pre-standard and the standard, they will not successfully talk to each other. So if you bought somebody and he happened to be all pre-standard, and you bought somebody else and he happened to be all the new IEEE version, they won't work very well. So that's an important question to ask. Congestion notification has had some limited testing from an interoperability perspective, but frankly, right now there's not a lot of users calling the vendors saying, we got to have it, primarily because what has been done on the point-to-point has been so effective. But it's there, and as the business need evolves, the vendors will respond, and the good news is they'll all develop it to the standard so you'll interoperate, and that's the key. Okay. In my mind, this is the most important thing that you can do. More importantly, it's probably one of the most important things that organizations like the Ethernet Alliance can do. Because if you think about testing, there's a lot out there to test, right? Because now you've got 1 gig, you're morphing to 10 gig. Vendors are now delivering core switches where you can do aggregation to 40 gig. And the carriers now are mostly doing 100 gig, but that'll be coming next, so that you could do aggregate to 40 at the core, use your 40s, do 100 across the WAN, right, then go back down and your 10 at the server. And that economically is pretty good, but evolving, right? So you're going to be in the middle of all this, and the issue is when you're facing these decisions, you go, you know what, I decided I'm going to do 40 gig and 10 gig, I'm so excited. Wait, you probably want to create a pilot project, put it all together, or there's another approach to that, or you can start checking the Ethernet Alliance website a lot, because we do something called a plug fest. We just did one, for example, that had 18 different vendors. Okay, so we look at things like, okay, storage testing, network testing, but more importantly, bringing it together in as real-world environment as we can and doing full-blown testing. What we do is we go to the University of New Hampshire Interoperability Lab, and we all show up. We agree through debate that we'll test these following things. Here's our test cases. Everybody agrees to that. We also do it under non-disclosure, meaning we all agree we're not going to talk in detail about what anybody had happen, because this is a great place where we can bring new technology and try it out, right, with a lot of other people. So you bring together 18 vendors, you spend a week, and you just beat this stuff, and you walk away, and you say, guess what? Maybe you can't do that as a company, right, because you've got a limited budget, you can't do unlimited things, but we can, through intercooperation of 19, 20 people, come together and hook it all up. We just did one we called the Terra Fabric Plug Fest, where we built a terabit capable, at the end, we built a terabit capable configuration. We need to get some more switches to really get up to that much going through it. But the idea was, we also tested 40. We tested 10 to 40 aggregation. We tested simple 10. We did a lot of things. So as long as we keep doing that, you can be more comfortable that the people you choose are going to work together in a happy and friendly way. We also do interoperability demonstrations. Supercomputer 12 we were at. We do the OFC, and then we do the interoperability. So if you're at one of those events, come and see us, because we'll have 7 to 15 vendors working together to do that. Okay, 40-second commercial on the Ethernet Alliance. But that's basically now. Go home and think about what you can do with 10 gig and feel more comfortable that it will interoperate, because we've done a lot of work in that direction to help you have that comfort, and that's really good. Ethernet Alliance is a group of how many, John?
85.
I'm sorry?
85 different.
Yeah, 85 companies that have come together with the purpose of explaining to the world about Ethernet and facilitating adoption of Ethernet. So we do things like we're doing here today. We have calls for interest for various activities that we do together. We go and do the interoperability demonstrations. We do webinars and education. By the way, if you go to the Ethernet Alliance site, there's quite a collection of some fairly nice webinars that explain DCB, explain 10 gig base T and how you can convert to that, and talk about adopting higher speed. It's all free. Just get logged, go on to the Ethernet Alliance site. John, you want to do the reaching consensus part?
Right, and then Rudy, last minute and we're done. Okay, so as Chauncey was talking about all this stuff and talking about things from standards, everybody in this room is a stakeholder for what is going on, right? You all care about what's going to go in your network and what Ethernet does. The consensus to make that stuff happen isn't driven inside the IEEE, and I don't know if people understand that. All right. It's a myth that the IEEE makes decisions. It doesn't. The IEEE only provides a forum for the industry to make these decisions. Now consider all the different standards that we've talked about today. Consider who the different stakeholders are that are going to come in there. What the Ethernet Alliance tries to do is provide an education. It also provides a reach out to do these sort of consensus building efforts. So keep in mind that to make any technical decisions inside of the IEEE requires 75% of the people who are in the room to say yes to whatever's going to happen. So when we start to talk about things such as 10 gig, 40 gig, 100 gig, and now the future, the 400 gig CFI that I'm going to be leading in March, the question will ultimately be, what is the consensus within the industry? So you can get involved directly. You can get involved indirectly through the Ethernet Alliance. So if you have any more questions, please feel free to contact any of us. We are on Twitter, we are on Facebook, and we are on LinkedIn. You can contact Morgan Frick, who is our Director of Operations, or you can contact myself as Chairman of the Board. So with that, thank you very much. If you have any other questions about what's happening with the state of Ethernet, we'd be more than happy to take them right now.
And I know we're a little late, so John and I will also kind of hang around at the back of the room. So when it's over, if you want to walk up and ask us that, because I don't want to, we've already cut you short. So take a